Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, this is Veterans Day, the day we honor those who have served and sacrificed for the nation and the armed forces. Now, taking care of our veterans is a sacred trust in the United States, one even more important now in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic and all of the challenges it has brought. Well, tonight, we have a lot of information and resources to share tonight with our veterans community. My guests are Gloria Harrison Seymour, Director of Public Affairs with the Washington, D.C. Veterans Affairs Medical Center, and Antoine Waller, Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs Benefits Administration. If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you need some assistance, if you are a veteran or are perhaps supporting a veteran who is in need, lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can certainly tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Gloria and Antoine, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you, Harold. Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Let me start.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Absolutely. So let me start with you, Gloria. Just like everything else, the world has changed since March, and certainly the COVID-19 pandemic has presented its own unique set of challenges for the veterans community. Talk to me about some of the things that veterans are experiencing in the wake of this pandemic.
Well, you know, it's similar to all of, you know, everything that we all are experiencing, you know, having to physical distance, having to be isolated, not being able to enjoy our social lives and experience life as we know it most, you know. So our veterans, we've actually transitioned since the onset of the pandemic, where we had shut down many of our elective and preventative healthcare services to care for those with COVID, because the onset there were so many people affected. We've since resumed our care and phased in a framework where we're actually providing 25% in-person care and 75% utilizing telehealth. So before, I can remember a time where the Department of Veterans Affairs and our medical center in D.C., who services veterans in Maryland and Virginia, as well as in the District of Columbia, we were, you know, trying to pull teeth to get veterans to utilize telehealth. Well, now what we've learned is that telehealth is possible for integrated health and wellness, is possible for mental health services, is possible for preventative health care and maintenance. So we're utilizing our VA telehealth and not leaving our veterans without resources, without care. We're filling in the gaps, and we're, you know, trotting along, trying to make it as efficient and effective as possible so that we still uphold our mission, which is providing safe, quality care to veterans. We're just doing it in a different way. But if there are veterans out there who are feeling isolated, we do have faith-based support through the medical center. We have our integrated health and wellness, where you can learn mindful meditation. We have our VA caregiver support group, who can care for those who are caregivers. If you're feeling fatigued, we have support for our caregivers. So, you know, Harold, we are doing what we can do to make sure that veterans get the care and services that they have earned and deserved, because we are honored to deliver these services, and we just have to change with this pandemic.
Antoine, as it relates to some of the benefits over the past, let's say, year or so, what kind of changes or shifts can you share with us that veterans need to know about?
All right. Thank you, Harold. And again, I just want to say happy Veterans Day to all the men and women that have served proudly in the uniform, past and present. And also, let's not forget those of our heroes that have paid, you know, the ultimate sacrifice. On Veterans Day, our family here, our employees, work very hard. And every day for us, it's Veterans Day. But especially on this day, we go extra to provide that compassion of service. And many of our employees are veterans themselves, so it certainly makes sense. But to answer your question directly, over the last few years, we've changed greatly. We're far faster, better, together, more agile. We're more accessible to veterans. You can meet us now online for many of the services that we provide. One of our greater benefits that we offer under the non-medical programs is our disability compensation. So you can go to our website, and a very simple website, www.va.gov, and you'll find much of the information I'll share with you this evening right there on that site. But you can file your claim for benefits right there online. We also offer opportunities for veterans during this pandemic where you're not feeling comfortable and safe and having your benefit payments being delivered to you by mail. You can go to our veterans banking program where you'll see a number of commercial banking institutions that we're partnering with that can support free at cost opportunities to provide services and have those direct deposits really secure. And as Gloria mentioned, those that are feeling isolated, we have a veterans crisis line that's available to assist 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're at your service. We have a new program, which is called Solid Start, that really concentrate on those service members that are about to exit the military. We have trained specialists that are going to talk with them at periodic incremental dates throughout their time coming up on ETS. At the 90-day mark, at the 180-day mark, and at the one-year mark to provide a lot of great benefits and services, particularly those that are have recently had mental health appointments, and we want to address that right up front. But we're open. We continue to serve, but we're just doing it differently. We must maintain that social distancing, as Gloria mentioned as well, but we are offering many of our benefits, but just in a different way. But we haven't stopped serving those service members and veterans that have given so much to this nation.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about resources and support for our veterans on this Veterans Day. If you have a comment or a question, we invite you to give us a call. Let's go to the phone lines. Rion calling from Baltimore. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Rion, go right ahead. Can you hear me?
Yes, hello?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Turn your radio down, please.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. And certainly, we thank you for your service on this Veterans Day.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm calling because I moved to Baltimore City in February, and my brother had informed me that veterans were able to have access on military bases, but you need to have a veteran's ID. So I went to the office to request my ID. They said they would mail it to me, but I have never received it. So I was wondering if there was any advice that you could give me on how I could obtain this ID that I requested.
So, Harold, I can take that. This is Gloria.
Sure.
I'm the Director of Public Affairs at the D.C. VA Medical Center. I recently just renewed my ID as well at Andrews Air Force Base, or Joint Base Andrews. But I went to the kiosk. So I did have to go in. And they schedule an appointment for you to pick up. So there is the opportunity to pick up. And have you not given the office a call there at the joint base that you went to? I'm assuming it would have been Fort Meade, possibly, if you're in Baltimore. But you may need to go into the office or telephone the office. Keep in mind that that is a Department of Defense action, though, not a Department of Veterans Affairs action. But I know we know the process, which you'd go into the MWR office, present your credentials, and they will schedule a time for you to pick up, which is exactly what I just did. I went to the kiosk. The kiosk snapped my picture because, remember, you have to update your picture. So you may need to give a call to the office and make sure you received accurate information.
What office is does Rion need to specifically call?
So Rion, did you go to Fort Meade or which joint base did you go to?
I went to the VA office in Baltimore City. That's where I was instructed to go.
So for your VA, you want a VA ID to be able to access. Okay, so your VA ID. So you went to the Baltimore Hospital and you spoke with eligibility. Let me understand. Make sure you spoke with eligibility office.
Correct. I completed all of the process. I filled out the information. I gave them my address, and they said I would receive my ID in the mail.
Okay.
I never received it.
So I actually am at the DCVA Medical Center, but what I want you to do is I'm going to ask that the producer, Candace, will give you my contact information, and I will make the connection to the Baltimore office tomorrow, to the Baltimore Hospital for you in the morning, the eligibility office. But that is the office that you will follow up with. It's a part of the business office, so eligibility would be able to handle that. And I'll connect, make sure you get a clear connection there in the morning.
Okay, I really appreciate that.
Rion, do not hang up. My producer, Candace, will take your information, and she will pass it on again. Thank you so much for your service. Happy Veterans Day. Thank you so much for calling. It's 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about benefits for our veterans on this Veterans Day, the sacred trust in taking care of those who have served in the armed forces. If you wouldn't mind, you spoke a little bit, and I'd like both of you to actually speak about this, but and I'll start with you, Gloria. We know for quite some time that there have been all kinds of struggles and challenges and roadblocks to mental health services for veterans, and there has been a very bright spotlight on this issue these past 10 or 20 years. What kind of changes and resources have been given to the VA to address, the issues of, suicide ideations and drug abuse and some of the other PTSD and some of the other mental health issues?
Sure. I know many people may know that this is the largest budget time for the Department of Veterans Affairs. Last fiscal year, we received one of the largest budgets ever. And a big amount of that funding is earmarked and geared toward mental health, integrated health and wellness, because with mental health, it's not a cookie cutter thing. It's just as specific as an individual. It's individualized, and we have a number of services that are available, and we've expanded services. We've even expanded services with our vet centers. Providing support to family members as well as combat era veterans through our vet centers in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, as well as let me just give you a little bit about some of the services that we offer with mental health now. Moving, because so many people wanted to utilize a holistic approach, the Department of Veterans Affairs has rolled out an integrative health and wellness program where there's the opportunity for auricular acupuncture, there's acupressure, there's qigong, reiki, and we're even using comedy, art to address PTSD, to address anxiety, to address depression, just a number of opportunities here. So I would, if there is a veteran under the sound of my voice who is struggling or feeling crisis, please don't hesitate. I promise you, we serve this mission wholeheartedly, and we want to care for you and provide the services. And please don't hesitate to dial us, to walk in to an emergency department to receive care, whether it's we offer individual counseling sessions, we offer group therapy, we have therapy from aromatherapy to, as I said, acupressure, Reiki, auricular acupuncture.
Well, let me stop you real quick, if I can, Gloria, but you said dial us. Is there a phone number? Because I want to get that information out and other kinds of contact resources before I take a break in about a minute or so. So let's deal with some phone numbers and some websites as well. I know that Antoine mentioned va.gov, which is certainly easy to remember, but you mentioned calling up. What phone number should people call?
For the Washington, D.C. VA Medical Center to connect to healthcare and mental health, it's 202-745-8000. Mm-hmm. Again, that's 202-745-8000. And Harold, you're right. We mentioned a number of services, especially for our VA support for caregivers. I definitely want to give the VA caregiver support line.
Sure.
That's 1-855-260-3274. Again, 855-260-3274.
3274. Thank you.
Yes.
So much. Real quick, do you want to throw out a phone number or any other information before we go into this break, Antoine?
Yeah, I'll just throw out just two numbers, Harold, and thank you for the question there. For our national call center, we'll take all questions. That's at 1-800-827-1000. Again, that's 1-800-827-1000. And if you are also suffering from homelessness or you know someone that's homeless, as a veteran, you can contact us at 877-424-3838. Mm-hmm. And I'll repeat that, 877-424-3838.
I wanted to let our listeners know that we are going to have all of this information posted on our website on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. But we are still going to keep this conversation going on SiriusXM. Eric, calling from Fairfax, Virginia, you're next. Do not hang up the phone. We're going to talk to you. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. The original Quiet Storm is next with John Mons. This conversation and much more information for our veterans coming up in just a few seconds on SiriusXM.
Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Happy Veterans Day. We are talking about our men and women who have served this nation in the armed forces and how they can find the resources that they need to make their life easier. My guests again are Gloria Hairston Seymour. She is the Director of Public Affairs with the Washington, D.C. Veterans Affairs Medical Center, and Antoine Waller, Director of the Department of Veterans Affairs Benefits Administration. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go back to the phones. Eric calling from Fairfax, Virginia. Thanks for calling, Eric. What's on your mind? Eric, can you hear me?
No, Valerie.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me, ma'am?
Hello?
Yes. Yes, who am I talking to?
Are you speaking to Eric Holland, retired Marine?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead, Eric. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a question for you. During the COVID, I've had the opportunity to reconnect with a lot of service members that I, of course, serve with. And a lot of them got out in 4-6 years, and they haven't started any type of claims for VA compensation. And I kind of found that was it seems like it's kind of difficult for them to start the process. I know there's VSOs or American Legion or that they can work with, or VFWs. Should they be reaching out to them, or how can they start that process? They don't know where their medical record books are, their documentation, any type of supporting documentation. And I'm kind of told, and as I understand, that there's a process called Nexus Letters and Buddy Statements that they can attach to e-benefits to start the process of getting some type of VA compensation.
So let me start with those who may not be familiar with this process, including myself, because I am the son of a veteran, but I am not a veteran myself. And so, Antoine, first of all, what is veterans compensation?
Okay, thank you, Harold, and I'll speak directly to Eric. Being a Marine, I believe yesterday was the Marine Corps' birthday. So
it was, yeah.
Happy birthday. 45 years, Semper Fidelis.
Yeah, happy birthday to you as well. The one good thing, Harold, even if it's been 4 to 6 years or even 12 years, there's still opportunities to file a benefit claim. I mentioned earlier that disability compensation, it is a tax-free benefit paid for veterans that become disabled or that incurred an injury while serving on active duty. And it sounds like that's what you're wanting assistance with. I would say to you that going to an accredited Veterans Service Officer is a great first step because the Veterans Service Officer has the tools and accessibility to understand all the steps that VA would require in order to file a claim appropriately. You can also file directly online yourself. So I mentioned the website, www.va.gov. You can go there and download appropriate forms to fill out, and you can submit those right online. You can also download the form and send it to the nearest regional office near you. And we're located nationwide, Eric. My office is located in Baltimore, downtown Baltimore. I also have an office in the District of Columbia off of 1722 I Street. You can ask your service organization, if you choose to go that route, to assist you with collection of all evidence that would support filing your disability claim. We would ask you, though, to complete a authorization for us to acquire a lot of your medical records. But all this information is located right there on that website that can really talk you through it. We recognize that there may be a perception of the process taking a long time, but if you work within the scope of accredited VSOs or at least through our call centers, we can assist you with completing those applications as well.
Now, he also mentioned
Go ahead.
Yeah, he also mentioned something called a buddy statement or a nexus letter. What are those?
Right. So depending on the disability that you're claiming and the time in which you were serving, there could be situations where there may not be sufficient evidence to show the connection between the disability that you're currently experiencing and the time in which you served on active duty. There may not be a record already established with the military. So what we could do is accept additional information from those that could be eyewitness accounts for your time served during that period of service. And that's what we refer to as a buddy statement. But that is a collection of a number of documents. We would also go out to our federal records to get all records that were associated with your time in service in order to complete that process. It's not a lengthy process, but we do understand due to complexity of the disabilities, it can take a little bit of time. Right now, we're processing on average claims well under 125 days. Now, with the COVID-19, that has had some impact there, because part of the process, we would ask you to meet with our contract medical examiners so we can have an opportunity to talk with you and really validate all the conditions that you're claiming. But we're now doing those more frequently across the nation. We're doing them in person. But if you're not feeling comfortable with COVID-19, you don't really want to be in front of a medical examiner, that would have no impact on our decision. We would determine an appropriate time for you to have that examination, but your claim would not be rejected or denied because you're not feeling comfortable with having that medical exam. So hopefully that's helpful.
So if I'm going to a medical professional and he or she is looking at conditions that I have that I believe are service-related, will that medical professional be able to support my condition through that nexus letter, and then I can upload that into your VA system?
Absolutely. There's a form called the DBQ Disability Questionnaire that allows the physician, a private physician, to measure all your conditions, and that information we will use as a part of our opportunity to evaluate your claim, adjudicate it, provided all the sufficient evidence is there, we'll go ahead and rate your claim, and then you'll be compensated based on the disability. And that can range anywhere from 0% to 100%. And the monetary compensation can be anywhere from 10% to 100% in monetary compensation.
Okay. How many conditions can my...
Eric,
yes, sir.
I appreciate that you've got a lot of questions, but we also have other veterans on the line that I need to get to. And but I would certainly advise you to follow. As a matter of fact, is there some information or contact information, Antoine, that you could give him? Because I don't want to have too many of the veterans hanging on, because there are a lot of questions tonight.
I would ask him to certainly start with the 1-800 827-1000. If he wants to provide the producer his contact information, I'll make sure we'll have one of my representatives reach out to him to assist and get him started with the first step.
Okay. Well, Eric, again, thank you so much for listening, and thank you so for your service, and I hope everything gets straightened out. I really appreciate your time. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let's go to Valerie, calling from Dale City, Virginia. Valerie, thanks for hanging on. What's on your mind?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I am a 100% total and permanent veteran with a student loan from my credit union, and I can't seem to find out why I can't get it paid off, because that is one of the entitlements.
Hmm. Your thoughts about that, either Gloria or Antoine?
excuse me. Valerie, thank you for the question. I would ask that you contact us at that 1-800-827-1000. We do have a education service program as well. I can't specifically address that question pertaining to satisfying your student loans. I would need to have more information in order to do so. I don't want to get into your personal case at this point, but if you would contact that 1-800-827-1000, we would certainly be available there to have that more personal contact with you.
Sir, can I ask a question?
Sure, go right ahead.
I have called, and no one can tell me anything several times. I've been 100% for over a year, and no one can tell me anything. They just
say
they don't
know. I'm sorry, Valerie, for your experience. Again, if you want to extend your information to the producer of the show, I'd be more than happy to look into it for you and get you at least in the right direction for an answer. I can support you there.
I can do that. Thank you.
Yeah, my producer will take your information. Can you at least give us kind of an overview Antoine, of how student loan, educational student loans work for veterans?
Well, it's a little bit different from going out and getting your own student loan. We do have a very good GI Bill that we offer to all veterans that have served honorably. And that's the Forever GI Bill, and it allows veterans to attend any state or local school for education. We'll provide a stipend as you're going through school in order to seek a degree of your choice. And that's a limited term, so you have infinity to use it. You can also pass it down to your family members as well. And that's the Forever GI Bill for post 9/11 after September 10th, 2001.
Why that? What was the change after 9/11?
Well, 9/11 initially, when the bill came out, had a certain term. It was a 15-year term. And then with the Comey Act that came out in 2017, it extended that limitation to well beyond 15 years. So that was new legislation that came out that we're now serving our veterans through. We're assisting the students that are impacted by closures or certain schools that are disapproving programs, and is also supporting other educational benefits that they may have received while serving either on the reserve or prior to the new post 9/11 GI Bill that came out. So we're supporting them in a much larger framework under the new education bill.
I see. Thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Gloria, what is right now the biggest request as it relates for veterans resources in October, November, I should say November 2020? What are you seeing an uptick in?
Mostly it is support services. You know, I hate to say that it's not a myth that relationships are suffering, marriages are strained because of the physical distancing and because of the having to stay home and places closing earlier, people not being able to get out to work, not leave the home. We're working in the same home together. So relationships are strained, and we've seen an uptick in support services, whether it's with substance abuse or, you know, mental health support and therapies. And that's just, I think, you know, will be across the board, veteran or not, right? As the we've learned, you don't really have to be a veteran to experience these things. But those are the areas that we see as hot points, and we're geared up to help and support. As we've talked about, telehealth is our method, but we have faith-based support through our chaplain service. We have our vet centers, which offer veterans and their family members support and counseling to get through these tough times. And our chaplain service also has a relationship counseling program where communication is the core of that program. And it's helping relationships to stay together through this time. We've seen fatigue in caregivers.
Hello?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, you just dropped out. Go right ahead. You said fatigue in caregivers?
Yes, so we've seen where caregivers are experiencing fatigue because they're 100% on, and you know, with appointments mostly being via telehealth, it's putting a lot more strain sometimes on the caregiver. So we are being creative in the ways that we are reaching out to the community. You know, the Department of Veterans Affairs learned a number of years ago, at least 5 years ago, that we can't do this alone. We need the community. So as you can see, veterans can utilize community providers. We have a number of community partners and relationships in the community where we can have veterans have care that's closer to home, especially for those living in rural areas of southern Maryland and so forth. So we are really just expanding care and services and embracing our community partnerships. Mm-hmm. Where veterans can receive, you know, professional help.
Let me go back to the phone lines. John, calling from Temple Hills. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Sir, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine, John.
Yes, I want to say God bless all the veterans out there, some who gave and some who gave all. My question is that I know you were talking about the benefits and health, the mental health of the veterans and all, but once this COVID is over and people be rejoining the workforce, I'm just kind of concerned, is there any programs or anyone that a veteran can see? Because my colleagues and I, we were falsely removed from federal service. So if there's any leads or anything that might be able to help us out. We've been downtown to Congress for assistance down there, and we've been running into a brick wall.
You're talking about employment services?
Well, we're talking about there's other veterans who are in our situation as well that had been falsely removed from federal service and civilian service as well.
So I'm trying to make sure I understand your question. So you're talking about what resources may be available for employment services
not employment service for people who have been falsely removed.
Oh, so you're talking about legal service. You're talking about legal services.
Yeah. Well, legal services. People, you know, for veterans who've been falsely removed from federal service or okay. Just civilian service as well.
Okay. Anyone, either one of my guests, have any thoughts about that?
Well, Harold, let me answer the question from a perspective of gainful employment. And I know this is more centered around John's concern about the legal aspect, but I would like to highlight a program that has provided great success for us. It's the Veterans Readiness and Employment Program. And again, these are eligible benefits to service-connected veterans by helping them prepare for and find suitable employment through professional counseling and case management. So we have an opportunity for the veteran to meet in a tele-counseling way, socially sort of distancing, but we'll provide opportunities to test for different levels of aptitude. And we'll sit and make out a employment goal that fits their desires and needs. And at the end of that program, we'll help facilitate the placement of a veteran into the job that he is pursuing because of either secondary training through college, vocational or technical schools that would be appropriate to help assist in that way. And there's incentives that go along with that as far as providing, again, a level of monetary stipend while they're going through that training. So that's the Vocational Readiness and Employment Program that does help veterans that are service-connected look for opportunities to find gainful, suitable employment through counseling.
What about legal services for veterans that may need, you know, legal assistance, whether it has to do with employment or any other kinds of of issues that, that may come up, whether it has to do with, divorce, or whether it may have to do with issues regarding, property. Are there legal services and resources that are offered to veterans?
Through the medical center, our transition and care program for those who have recently transitioned, we do have a partnership with a pro bono legal group that's in the nation's capital, and they see veterans by appointment. So if you contact the medical center and ask about the pro bono legal help, we will be able to connect veterans to help with that. Mostly the pro bono legal help is for those who have received a less than honorable discharge, and they are helping with overturning those cases. They are also helping with veterans with, if you are in a situation where you have child support and you may have lapsed, they are also assisting veterans with, if you're in landlord-tenant court, you can get pro bono legal assistance with that as well. And then I will defer to Mr. Waller for more information, because there's a different legal opportunity as well that on the benefits side that I think he may be able to speak better to.
Antoine?
Well, my response would be more directed towards if a veteran is seeking benefits, and I mentioned earlier that there are accredited veteran service officers that are throughout the nation. For example, there's your American Legion, your VFW, DAV, your state-level Department of Veteran Affairs. Now, I don't want to speak on their behalf, but being associated with those organizations as a member, there could be other options available to you. I just don't have a pathway for any legal support for veterans that are unique to John's question. But I'd be more than glad to take his information and, again, do a little bit more research to help support his concerns. I just don't have an appropriate answer that gives him direct legal access.
John, I thank you so much. Don't hang up. My producer will get your information so that it can be passed on to Antoine. But I appreciate your phone call, and thank you so much for your service. I did want to ask, and this is, again, for either one of you, one of the, pre-COVID, one of the big pushes that we have seen, we've seen this in several presidential administrations about employment of veterans and employment preferences. What impact has the pandemic had on that? Is there still the big push to make sure that veterans get, in some cases, employment preferences? Kind of give me the rundown on that, if you could, Antoine.
Well, Harold, that's a great question. That's not necessarily my area of expertise. I know that's under the Office of Personnel Management that really dictates a lot of the veteran preference guidelines that's associated with any federal employment. I do know that because of disabilities, you do have an opportunity to get a 5 or 10 point preference. That always helps in the deciding element of ensuring that veterans are being considered. I mentioned that the vocational Veterans Readiness and Employment Program that also looks to make sure that we see opportunities within our federal workforce where we could match skills that will enable veterans to have that suitable federal employment as well. So we have that access through that unique program.
Mm-hmm. Gloria, do you have any thoughts about that?
I would just add that, you know, as you both have said, veterans do have preference when it comes to federal employment, and they have specific certs, if you will, hiring certifications, if you will. And just to say to the veterans who are listening, when you go to USA Jobs, to the website to complete your application and build your application, be sure to check the boxes regarding your service so that you get all of the points and opportunities available to veterans. There's a specific point on that website where if you, it asks you specifically, are you a veteran? And it takes you directly to the necessary questions for you to get the maximum number of points for your service time, your era, your disability, et cetera. And you just have to upload a few pieces of documentation to support your selection. So be sure to do that when completing the application process.
Well, I think this is a good place to end this conversation. And I want to thank both of you for providing us with this long list of resources and phone numbers to help veterans out there that are looking for help now and obviously beyond these uncertain times brought on by the COVID pandemic. As I said, all of these phone numbers that were mentioned today and websites will be posted on WHUR.com after 8:30 tonight. And I want to thank our guests for sharing this great information, Antoine Waller and Gloria Harrison Seymour. We appreciate your time and thank you both for your service.
Glad to be with you. Thank you, Harold.
Yes, thank you so much. And to all who worn the uniforms of our many U.S. Armed Forces, thank you for your service and for the freedoms that we all enjoy then and still continue to enjoy. And those who are continuing in public service as veterans, thank you as well.
Well said. That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, November 11th, Veterans Day. I'm Harold Fisher. Now stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.